Well, good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be here again. So when I was asked if I was able to speak today, I was told that the theme was outreach. And this is a topic that has been really stirred within me, especially of late. And I think it's a topic that not only that I've struggled with, but I think my church has as well, maybe even the local church. We hear numbers that people are leaving the churches, and especially maybe certain demographics like the millennials, so anywhere between 16 to 32 or 35, that age range. And I've read different authors, different websites, and so there's so many different perspectives regarding outreach. So first, what is outreach? Well, by definition, outreach is an effort by individuals in an organization or group to connect its ideas or practices to other groups or audiences or the general public. Outreach often takes on an educational component, so like a distributing of ideas, but it's increasingly common for organizations to conceive of their outreach process as a two-way street in which outreach is framed as engagement rather than just solely dissemination or education. So why is outreach necessary? Well, outreach is linked to the organization's mission. It may define targets, goals, and milestones. And so in a Christian context, Jesus gives his followers the mission to reach out. It's what healthy Christians and healthy churches do naturally. In Matthew 28, Jesus gives us the Great Commission. So 28:16 to 20 says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" So the goal is to create followers of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the mission, which is basically an operation designed to complete the goal, well, Jesus lays out the mission quite simply. Go reach out to everyone, everywhere, sharing the good news that I have revealed to you. Lead and teach them. Let them learn from your example as you have learned from your time with me. And so that's the easy aspect of this message. And here's where I have been challenged, and perhaps, as I said, the church has been challenged too lately. Who are we supposed to reach out to? Well, in that passage, the easy answer is anyone and everyone, when Jesus says all nations. But going deeper, I think many churches or believers think reaching out means to like-minded people. That means maybe similar economic or social status, behaviors, upbringing, values. And that might translate to middle class, working families, maybe Christian upbringing or experience. And so, basically, you're targeting people searching for a new church. Now, you might think to yourself, that's not what I'm thinking. But let me be the first to admit it then. Just last week, I was walking into my church with my youngest son, the two-year-old. And two fellows that have been attending for the last month or two were outside smoking. And so already right off the bat, as I'm walking in, I'm like, church has started for 5 or 10 minutes already, and these guys are already outside smoking. Obviously, you might have missed the point where I was already 5 or 10 minutes late. But it goes on. During the message, they're on their phones. They're talking. Not even whispering. They're talking. And right off the bat, you know, again, I get into that judgment mindset. Really, they could have had Bible Gateway on their phone and going through the scripture or reflecting on the message and just been excited with each other. Who knows? And again, I think at least 2 or 3 times more during the worship, they went out probably for a smoke break, came back in and out. And again, to that whole experience, I'm just like, ugh. But again, when you think about it, and I forget that these men are our most recent connections to the community through outreach, and that have come in through our ministry with the local shelter and low-income housing. They've probably never been to church before. They probably don't understand church culture. And they likely came to church because of the outreach worker that they connected to, was passionate about Christ, had a gift for evangelism. And so they probably wanted to know more about a Savior that loves them, forgives them, has a plan for them. And it probably doesn't hurt that, you know, they hear about a Christian community that will call them brother. Because again, if I was an unchurched person, why would you want to go to church? Unless you believe in some aspect of it, in some aspect of Jesus, and you want more. That wasn't the only instance that, I think, that week. Around that same week, just finished an elders meeting. And the pastor's wife came up to me, and she's also a co-pastor of the church. But the pastor's wife, she came up to me and said, I want to introduce you to someone new. She's staying with us right now. She's going to have a baby in a month. She's single. The baby's father's not around. And she's on income assistance. I thought you'd be able to help her with resources, since you're likely familiar with this at work. And at this point, I just caught off guard, took a deep breath, feeling slightly overwhelmed. And the first thing going through my mind is that I live in Langley. I don't quite know the resources out here. But a week later, the pastor's wife again, we were sitting in a meeting, remarked at the passion of this young lady staying with them, and told about how over the last week she's been bringing at least half a dozen of her friends to the house to introduce them to the wife so that she could share and teach them about Jesus. So I guess my point being that if you want to be serious about reaching out, be prepared, because your expectation, like mine, might be different than God's plan. And I see this with my ministry here in New West. Those that are desperate, lost, broken, they're more likely to come to Jesus. Because in their humility and their brokenness, they will be the first to hear his call. And then you just might be amazed at their gifts, or how they revitalize your church, or just how God can use them for his plans and his purposes. in Luke 2, verses 13. It starts off, Jesus went out to the lake shore again and taught the crowds that were coming to him. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and followed him. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciple to his home as dinner guests, along with many other tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. But when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." And so I think sometimes I, maybe others in the church, forget how sick and sinful we were and are and try not to be. And sometimes I wonder, wow, it's a good thing that God is graceful. Because I feel like sometimes I alone test his limits. And sometimes we have to remember to give and show others that same grace that we're given. We have one guest, that's what we refer to clients that access our services at UGM. And originally, he came to us as an atheist. He just came for the meal because he didn't have enough money to stretch through the month. And he would just keep to himself. And he would share this later on with me that he just thought we were stupid people that believed in something that was just out there and wrong without proof. And yet, he continued to come for the food. And over 4 years, God and the Holy Spirit just broke through his heart, spoke to him, and just changed him slowly. Probably so slowly that he didn't even notice it himself. He would talk to us more and more about the Bible, about Jesus, and he had questions. And sometimes the way he exercised or practiced his faith, you know, would be different than traditional Christians. But we trusted the Spirit and allowed this man to search in his own way. And now that he's more mature, we've tried to encourage him to attend a church to be part of the greater body. He tried it, but again felt so scared about being judged for the way he's, again, practices his Christianity and maybe some of the questions and viewpoints he has. Of course, you know, this fellow, like many of us, has issues. And his might be with trust, authority, submission, tradition, and so forth. But it kind of broke my heart because if the church, if we're the mature ones, can we not still nurture, love, care for, and continue to walk with someone in their search, as they're exploring? So finally, how do we do outreach? I guess right off the bat, I want to put it out there that outreach, it's not a program, it's not a strategy, and it's got to be something natural. To start, when I was kind of compiling notes, I jumped on the internet, just typed in, I think, church outreach. And a whole bunch of links came up. And one of the first ones that kind of just popped out to my to my eye was 101 outreach ideas for small churches. And right there, that should have been kind of my warning. It just sounded too packaged, too neat. But I continued to read on. And so the writer has this opening paragraph, and he says, I'm playing around here, and this is the rough draft of 101 outreach ideas for small churches, this book that I'm going to write. Any others do you want to add? I'd love to hear any stories you have about any outreach ideas you used. I want to include real stories from real churches. Time for your 15 minutes of fame. And so like an abandoned building that's ready to be blown up, I just had to keep watching to see what was going to happen next. As I went through the 101 listings, the number one word that I saw was programs. And some of the more interesting ones was weddings and funerals, health screenings, election forums, and then there was one that said parents' night out. Now initially, I was like, hey, that's awesome. But then, you know what, if you look at the perspective of an unchurched person that has no concept of our culture or our values, I'd be kind of nervous. I'd be like, what are they going to teach my kids? Well, I'm not there. You know, if someone asked me, hey, the local Mormons or Jehovah's Witness are offering free child care, To be honest, I probably wouldn't drop my kids off there because the different value system, different beliefs. And so as I looked at these 101 ideas, it just sounded out of date, no longer relevant to our culture, and it just sounded like desperate attempts just to lure people through the doorway. Every church has the opportunity to reach out to the lost in their area. First, no single congregation can provide every type of outreach ministry. In His wisdom, God has uniquely gifted each congregation with those who excel in particular types of outreach or ministry. But there are some essential ones that we as a church need to practice. Personal evangelism, as the Great Commission sets for us. We should be involved in telling others about Jesus Christ because, you know, we know it's a treasure, and why would we want to keep it to ourselves? World missions. Every church is called to reach out beyond its local community to make disciples of all nations. And again, the goal is to train and equip followers so that they can apply the learning to their cultural context and not have a dependence on maybe Western ideals or support. Outreach ministries to the poor and needy, like we do at UGM. And outreach to children. You know, I love that verse, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. So from there, then you got other opportunities for outreach. Could be prison ministry, seniors ministry, depending on whatever the needs, the giftings, the passions that are here within the church, calling, demographic. But the key is outreach needs to be relational. As I said earlier, there needs to be engagement. It needs to serve a purpose, needs to be relevant. And again, most importantly, it needs to share the gospel in some form. Whether it's the word or just the love behind it. John 4, 1-4 is one of my, again, favorite scriptures. The woman at the well. And I'll just share it with you as a summary. Traveling from Jerusalem in the south to Galilee in the north, Jesus and his disciples took the quickest route through Samaria. Tired and thirsty, Jesus sat by Jacob's well, while his disciples went to the village of Sychar, about a half mile away, to buy food. It was about noon, the hottest part of the day, and a Samaritan woman came to the well at this inconvenient time to draw water. In his encounter with a woman at the well, Jesus broke three Jewish customs. First, he spoke to a woman. Second, she was a Samaritan woman, a group the Jews traditionally despised. And third, he asked her to give him a drink of water, which would have made him ceremonially unclean from using her cup or jar. And this shocked the woman at the well. Jesus then went on to have dialogue with her and told her about living water so that she would never thirst again. And he was referring to eternal life, the gift that would satisfy her soul's desire, and was only available through him. At first, she didn't understand what Jesus was meaning. And although they had never met before, Jesus revealed that he knew that she had five husbands, or that she had had five husbands, and was now living with a man who was not her husband. And now, Jesus had her attention. As they talked about their two views on worship, the woman voiced her faith that the Messiah was coming. And Jesus answered, "I, who speak to you in He." And so as the woman began to grasp the reality of her encounter with Jesus, the disciples returned. They were equally shocked to find him speaking to a woman. Leaving behind her water jar, the woman ran back to town, inviting the people to come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Meanwhile, Jesus told his disciples, "The harvest of souls is ready, sown by the prophets, writers of the Old Testament, and John the Baptist." And excited by what the woman told them, the Samaritans came from Sychar and begged Jesus to stay with them. So at that point, Jesus stayed for 2 days, teaching the Samaritan people about the kingdom of God. And when he left, the people told the woman, "We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." So some interesting points about this portion of Scripture is that the Samaritans were a mixed race of people. They had intermarried with the Syrians centuries before, and so were hated by traditional Jews because of this cultural mixing. And as well, they had their own Bible, their own place of worship that differed from the Jews. Another point was the woman came to the well at the hottest part of the day instead of the morning or the evening times, likely because she was shunned and rejected by other women of the area for her immorality. But Jesus knew her history and still accepted her and ministered to her. Also, by going back to the townspeople, Jesus showed that his mission was to everybody, to the entire earth. And once he ascended to heaven, his disciples still went out to the ends of the earth, to Greece and onwards, to plant churches and to share the gospel. To me, that scripture of the lady at the well captures outreach perfectly. And of course, you know, Jesus did it. He engaged with her, even working around local customs and expectations. He related to her and engaged with her, even though there's initially the different viewpoints on worship. Because to him, the goal was sharing the gospel and sharing the truth with her. And she was interested. Her heart was ready for it. He respected her. He showed her care. And then the engagement led to a time with others. And so I think that's kind of the inspiration and the example that of how we do outreach at UGM. everyone might initially come for the breakfast. And beyond that, when it comes to referrals, housing, really anyone, any other social agency can do that. But they continue to come for the relationships, the sense of acceptance, belonging. They know that they're loved and cared for. Support. People continue to stay for the chapel time. And when we do chapel, they have the ability to go out. By no means do they have to stay there until the mealtime. And still people stay for the various ministries afterwards, after the lunchtime, like Bible study, art therapy, biblical discussion group. Back in January, I did a survey. The survey was really for another purpose, but I just wanted to see where guests were at. And one of the most interesting numbers that kind of popped out to me was that 47 of 175 people polled that morning came for the faith aspect. So that translates to 27%. I've been there almost 8 years now. And sometimes it's taken that long to kind of break through and see the heart of where a person's at. And sometimes it's not like night and day noticeable. But I've often experienced that once a relationship is formed, that person will give you an opportunity, or there's a rare occasion where I might ask that permission out of respect and out of care. But they do want to know why you're different. Why do you have hope? And it's not arrogance, but it's amazing grace. And understanding that you can have a new identity in Christ. Because deep down, they want it too. So when you do outreach, be ready. Because once that relationship is formed, once they trust you, they will want you to lead them. And it's going to take time, and it's going to take patience. Once again, thank you for letting me come share with you. My hope is that to always give you something practical, something to edify you in your personal walk, but also to edify the body as well, the church. And so thank you for letting me share.